How's it going over here? So I want to have your help imagine with me, okay? So if you could imagine the best world that there could possibly be, the best thing to ever happen, what would that be?
The sun never dying out.
The sun never dying out, that's good. Yep, absolutely.
A world with which will have rainbows everywhere.
Rainbows everywhere, that's beautiful. Yeah, I'd like to see that. Family never going away. Absolutely. Yeah, those are all things that I hope for too. Absolutely. And a few more that we're going to talk about. Thank you for your help. I appreciate it.
This text from Micah happens to be one of my favorite ones. This vision of peace and prosperity, that's what I envision when we talk about what it means to live in and bring about the kingdom of God. It's not just a foreign peace, we're not just not at war with someone else, it's not just a domestic peace where we have peace in our land, it's a peace that's deeply integrated. Neither shall they learn war anymore. Can we even imagine that? A world where God's love for people is what arbitrates every dispute. A world where all people are allowed to walk in the name of their God, just as we are allowed to walk in the name of ours. A world where swords don't have any use anymore. I have to admit, I'm really hungry for such a world. Just a few days ago, there was another shooting in California where 12 people were murdered again. Some days it feels really hard to hold on to that vision that Micah puts out when there's so much violence and so much death. Not one of us hasn't been touched in some way by war and by violence. There has been a war in every generation present in this room. As justice-seeking people, it's easy to see or to talk about war as something else, something out there that's easy to critique. It's the binary we've set up that if we are peace-loving people, then obviously we have to hate war. But it's important to critique the institutions that bring war about, and not the people who are part of the institutions. We don't have to necessarily wholesale support everything that the military is and does. Not everything is honorable and just, it just isn't. But the opposite, to utterly reject anyone who's been a part of the institution, isn't right either, which is the trap that people tend to get into on the other side. In my own life, this looks like a lot like the practice of humility, challenging stories I've had in my head by seeking out veterans and listening to the stories of people who have served. And what I've learned about myself has been surprising. Every person who's joined the military has a different reason for doing so. It's not everyone who just wants to jump up and defend freedom and the flag. And not everyone who comes back from a deployment, it comes back broken. Some of the most vocal advocates for peace are veterans because they know what the cost is, as the litany said. They are the most deeply invested in the imagery of beating swords into plowshares because they know firsthand what the cost of living by the sword is. In our own conversation to adopt our Just Peace designation, there was a question. Where do veterans fit in all of this talk of peace? Is there space? As Claire talked about before, the litany, the best way to care for veterans as a group is to work towards the ability to bring them home. When they are home, the best things that we can do is to advocate for adequate health care, including adequate mental health care when they return, and provide assistance and transition as they come out of military life and discharge or retire. This is a relational thing. It's not just, again, it's not just wholesale support of everything that the military does, but love and acceptance of each veteran themselves as they return. It's not hero worship, but relationship. In preparing for this sermon, I had a long talk with my brother, who is a graduate from the Air Force Academy and who deployed to Afghanistan. And he was in our congregation the day that we voted to become a Just Peace Church, so he has a little bit of a sense of who we are. And I said, his name's Parker. I said, Parker, I have no idea how to have this conversation. I have no idea where to start. It's so out of the realm of my thinking. And he gave me some insight into what it felt like for him to be part of the military and also be a peace and justice seeking person, the tension that he had to hold. And he gave me some ideas about how veterans specifically are the people that we should be listening to in this conversation. In his experience in the Air Force, some of the lessons that he learned that he believes would come to bear in a church that is seeking justice is that veterans know in an embodied way what solidarity means, how to give up one's life to be part of something larger. In his experience in the military, inclusivity and equality was a piece of how his unit functioned. And he had to rely on other people, lots of people with different skills, to accomplish the mission. Isn't that a familiar thing that we practice here, knowing that we are all the body of Christ, but with each one with a different skill set that works to build toward the vision of justice that we hold? He said that in the military, he learned an all-out commitment to a vision or a mission, and to cap it off, a deep, nuanced understanding of the problem, cause, and cost of injustice and war. It's significant that we celebrate Veterans Day on Armistice Day, the day that peace was called to end World War I. At that point in history, the deadliest war. There's a tension there, but I think that the vision is the same that we see in Micah. There is hope for a sustained, long-lasting peace built on gratitude for the people who bear the cost of our failure to be there yet. So today, as we honor those who served in the military, may we carry the Micah vision in our hearts. Embrace our siblings who served in the military. We can't pretend that there never were swords, but we can hope and work for a day with their leadership when they are no longer necessary. Amen.